director. All right, so Rick Emerson Show live from Portland is 503-733-2970. We got this. Rick, did you watch the new TV show Heroes this week? I'm wondering what everyone thought of it, because all I kept thinking is the UNB trilogy. The UNB trilogy was canceled. What is the UNB trilogy? UNB.
Is that one of those new networks like the WC?
I don't know. I don't know what that means. All I kept thinking is, quote, the UNB and C. This is the thing where I'm going to say, what is the UNB trilogy? And then I'm going to get some sort of, you turn in your geek card! And it's going to be something that everybody thinks I don't know about. But this piece of crap is greenlit for television. Just shows that success comes from mediocrity. The Heroes, is that the thing where there's like nine people and they wake up and they've all got superpowers or something? No, I didn't watch it. Yeah, I didn't watch it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll bring on Scott Daly in a moment. But first, the real reason you're here today, it's Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Even Mike Tyson doesn't know why people would pay him to fight again. That's what I said. I think I'm useless to society.
Who?
Mike Tyson.
He's got that freaky tattoo on his face, though. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm useless to society. I don't think I'm worthy of the people who come up to see me, but they do. The baddest man on the planet acknowledges he's in horrible shape and only capable of going 2 to 3 rounds. Mike Tyson will return to the ring October 20th at the 6,000-seat Chevy Center in Youngstown, Ohio, at a pay-per-view event. His sparring partner will be Corey T-Rex Sanders. Hopefully he's gentle and kind to me.
Did he really say that? Yeah. Hopefully he's gentle. It's boxing. There's no gentle kindness in boxing.
I love the rain, said the former boxing great. The rain to me is like sin to some people. It might sound pretty morbid, but that's why I'm willing to stay here in Youngstown so long.
Okay, you had me, and then I just lost the tether. So I lost the thread like halfway through.
He loves the rain.
So
apparently he rains quite a bit there, so he's very comfortable being in town.
Be gentle and kind to me. There's some joke there, but I'm not going to make it. I was to understand, and maybe the people can help me out with this, I was to understand that Tyson, his whole... Where? Youngstown, Ohio?
Yes.
Boy, that sounds like... I don't even know anything about that, but it just sounds like a bad place.
I think they make tires there.
Isn't that where Steubenville... Isn't Steubenville
Well, it's the same state. It's Ohio.
All right. So, yes. It's where... Yeah, it's where Dangerous is. I thought he was boxing for money, like, outside the Mirage. I thought it was like...
I think that was Tonya Harding.
No. All right, now, see, but here's the kind of world we live in now. I don't even know if you're joking. Are you kidding?
No, I'm serious.
Who are you today?
What?
How do you not remember anything?
Oh, no.
You remember this at least, right, Tim?
I do remember this.
Yeah. I don't know what we're talking about. Who are you? How did I get here? Oh, you know, this is when I start thinking of all that aluminum-based underarm deodorant I sprayed on myself for years, and then you just start thinking, Alzheimer's.
Are all the lead-based paint chips you chewed out the windowsill as a child?
No, seriously.
We were trying to get her on the show. She's been boxing. She did that fighting at the beach thing.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
No, she's still doing, like, boxing stuff.
Is it in Vegas?
I don't know.
See, okay, but, oh, see, no, this isn't my fault. This isn't me going crazy.
Sure.
I'm not crazy. Institutionalized. I'm saying that I heard a story a couple weeks ago where if you go to Vegas, and I believe it was the Mirage, Mike Tyson is in, like, some sort of sideshow, literally like a sideshow attraction.
Case.
Yeah.
Like the Tigers at the MGM.
Yeah.
It's like one Beating step
time.
It's one step away from that, where, like, literally there is a section that they've sort of built, and it's like a little, I'm not saying it's miniature, but it's sort of like a, you know, like a two-thirds size boxing ring. And just like that volcano that explodes in front of the Mirage every 15 minutes, that, like, once an hour on the hour,
Tyson explodes.
Tyson comes out, and for $19, you can see him box a guy for, like, 20 minutes, and then he, like, goes and sits inside a dark hole and waits to be called back out again. You know, he goes and sits inside a cave like Shelob.
Sounds like the days of the Romans.
And he was like, this is the lowest I've ever been. You know, and he was just totally talking about, that's a voice anybody can do. Don't be impressed.
I'm not impressed.
I'm saying,
funny.
I'm just saying, yeah, don't, yeah, there's no skill required there.
Do it again.
But it was like, literally, there's some sideshow boxing kind of thing. and so, but, well, maybe not. But it is like the Tigers. The Tigers never do anything when I'm there, by the way. It's
I know,
like
they just,
see
like,
me coming.
The Tigers are never there when I'm there.
The only thing I can ever do is you can walk through that tunnel and you can look up and see when napping above you. The Tigers, I've never seen them attack anything or eat anything when I'm there.
The last time I was here, there were pictures of Carrot Top everywhere. It was very eerie.
Where? Just
everywhere.
In the sky, on the sidewalk?
Yes.
Really, in Vegas?
Yeah. Everywhere I went, there were pictures of Carrot Top.
Was it muscly Carrot Top? Was he shirtless and oiled?
It was unnerving. You couldn't look at it. I mean, everywhere you turned, there was another picture of Carrot Top.
Imagine having sex with Carrot Top. Let's do it now. Hold on.
You know, that Curly turned to make a bathtub video.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know that's the thing that's going to come out someday. It's going to be the Carrot Top. There's some pun there.
Oh, there's many things you can do with carrots.
Yeah.
So if you buy it.
Scotty, you know what to do.
If you go on Amazon.com, in order the Carrot Top video, it'll say better with.
Oh, yeah. Dustin people Bond. Who bought this also bought.
How about Carrot on Top?
That's genius. No, you ought to. I'm telling you, you ought to register that domain name right now.
Okay.
Like $9.99, you can park that, and then someday when Carrot Top needs to pedal that, or yeah. Pedal that, as the case may be, it's like you see those guys in Vegas that are famous only in Vegas, and I've talked about the Danny Gans syndrome before.
Yeah.
Where it's like a guy, and you're like, everywhere you go, just a big beaming visage of Danny Gans. I don't know what the hell Danny Gans is. So, all right.
He could be selling timesharing resorts or something.
Totally. He's got huge teeth.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. We'll bring him back here for the end of the show. Carrot on top. Let's see. What is that old joke that, you know, that honey roll over and lettuce on top? Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey. I was just going to tell you the UNB trilogy, which they're making up. Nobody calls it that. But M. Night Shyamalan... originally, it was going to be a trilogy out of Unbreakable.
Okay, now, see, UNB, and no one calls it. Okay, yeah. No, Unbreakable, it was going to be Unbreakable, Breakable, and Broken.
Yes.
Now, do we know that that's true, or is that just some fanboy crap that they made up?
I don't know. That's just what I'd heard. And, you know, maybe not. I haven't heard anything about him being especially passionate about that specific movie.
It's not like his movies after that have done all that well, so...
Right.
I never even saw... What the hell was that, Lady in the Water? I didn't see that, and I never saw The Village.
I saw The Village on DVD. It was okay, but his downfall was that he started doing all of his movies with surprise twist endings.
Right, and then he started watching for it.
Right. As soon as you're watching for it, you're saying, okay, that's going to come up later, and if you can see it coming, a surprise twist ending kind of has the opposite effect, where it's less of an impact.
Yeah, totally. We should start doing surprise twist endings on this show.
Yeah.
Where, like, at the end, I'm really like an orca killer whale wearing a human mask.
Well, what do you got to do at the end?
That didn't make any sense. I don't know what I would say that for. Hello, I'm sorry. Kevin, all right.
Yeah. Anyway, I leave you with four words.
Yes.
That time again.
Stop. Stop. Are you the guy that sent me that?
Yes.
You're a bad person. Is my computer up, sir? All right, I was trying to... Thank you. All right, thank you, Kevin.
Are you okay?
Not surprisingly, Scotty J's big Danny Gans fan, by the way. No, this guy sent me... Kevin there found... You know what a chick tract is, Sarah?
No.
Scott, let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Show. Let me find his
you have it
music.
Or
no, I have it here. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com. How are you, sir?
Hola.
Do you know what a chick tract is?
I have never heard of a chick tract.
A chick tract, T-R-A-C-T.
No, sir.
A tract is like it's like a little booklet or a little lesson, like a school lesson can be a tract. When people hand you a thing in the airport, like a little religious brochure in the airport, that's a tract.
Kind of like a missal or more of a brochure.
It's like, you know, it's like a little booklet.
Okay.
But there's a guy named Jack Chick, and he is legendary. There are these things called Chick Tracts, and he is you know, like that Fred Phelps guy, that nutcase preacher?
Yeah.
Jack Chick is the original Fred Phelps, but he is this crazy, like, full-on screaming nutcase Christian. He's one of those Christians that all the other Christians I hate because he gives him a bad name. But distributes these little black and white... They're like little tiny comic books, and they're black and white comic books, but that they teach you a lesson about something or other.
Okay.
But he's I'll find some because you would find them hilarious. But if he's like little comic books, and they're like about 10 pages long, they're about like this. They're about like 3 inches high and about 6 inches wide. They're sort of rectangular. But it's a little one-act comic book story. And it's always where like somebody is like reading a Harry Potter book. And then by the end of the story, they're sacrificing babies and drinking their blood. And then it ends with a narrator going, "This will happen to you if you do not follow Galatians 5:12.
Like, and the guy's holding the Bible in one hand and pointing.
Yeah,
lightning behind him and stuff.
It'll be insane. It'll start like really innocently. Like it'll be like, you know, what's this? The ERA? Well, that sounds interesting. I think women should have equal rights. Maybe I'll go to this meeting. And then they go to the meeting, and the meeting is like some hairy-legged feminist lesbian with, like, really, like, very stereotypically drawn. And by the end of the book, it's like she's, you know, by the end of the book, she's at the mall, like, you know, forcibly aborting things with pitchforks and just, you know, and whatever. And it's a whole like, this is where feminism leads. If you do not follow Ezekiel 5:12, they're crazy, but they're hilarious. And so now they're all over the net, too. Jack Chick's tracts. This guy found one laying downtown and he scanned it to me. And it was a thing about the gays and all about how the gays or whatever. And he's like, he's like, you know, it starts with, you know, accepting different lifestyles and orientations. Before you know it, their perversion cannot be contained. And this is illustrated, seriously, this is illustrated by, like, the most horrific image. It's like a little, this sounds horrible, but it's illustrated, but this is Jack Trick, and he does these. He's not fooling around. Like, this is his thing. Like, this is how he wants you to come to Jesus, is with these horrible little Bible books. And it's like, soon the gays cannot contain their sinister urges. And the panel this guy scanned and sent to me from this chick track is, it's like a small, like, child with, like, the big eyes holding a teddy bear and, like, sucking his thumb. Like, looking up, and, like, all you see in the foreground is, like, the back of a huge, hairy, disgusting, tattooed man. And, like, the word balloon is like, "All right, Bobby, it's that time again."
Horrible.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's awful.
Kind of reminds me of that.
It's hilarious, though. I mean, because it's just so retarded.
It kind of reminds me of that Know Your Pothead little short film in Fear and Loathing
Totally.
In Las Vegas,
that's
you know?
All. Yeah, exactly. And so that's why he ended that call with, "It's that time again."
You've got to post that. I'm dying to see that.
Also, oh, see, she's going to. Are you at Chick Publications?
Yeah.
So you can read them online. They're fantastic.
Oh, they're great.
Well, and there's a whole cottage industry, but there's a whole. There's a whole section of the internet.
Homosexual agenda.
Yeah,
there is.
There's a whole section. There's whole web pages that are dedicated to nothing but sort of like removing the word bubbles and replacing them with new ones on the line. Like people do that with Family Circus cartoons
right,
now.
Yeah,
you know, where it's like it'll be like Billy from the Family Circus, but the new caption will be like, "What's a Prince Albert?" You know. So no, chick tracts are genius. They really are in a horrific, terrible, vile sort of way. Clyde loves those because they're fantastic propaganda. They're really, really...
Oh, that's the definition of propaganda.
Oh, yeah, they're hilarious.
I mean, that's it.
Let me get fantastic. A couple of these here, and then we'll talk films, Stephanie Miller would say. Benjamin in the mighty Southeast, what's up?
Rick Emerson, thanks for having me on.
No, thank you, sir.
Hey, well, of course, I'm calling about Scarlett Johansson, which is one of my top three all-time sexiest women alive, right up there with Drew Barrymore and... Jessica Alba. So of course, I'm following her film career quite closely.
Of course.
And the movie that you failed to mention was The Island from 2005.
Oh, with Ewan McGregor, but that was a terrible film, wasn't it?
Yeah, but she was in it.
I mean, two words. Michael Bay.
But she was in it.
Yeah, but it was. But I was saying, what is the last good movie she made other than Match Point?
No, definitely The Island. It was a good movie, actually.
Really?
And it had kind of a... No, yeah, it had kind of a Matrix-like twist, questioning reality, plot behind the scenes type of thing going on. Pretty good action, but well, speaking of Michael Bay, you know, of Armageddon and The Rock and most recently The Island, his next film project, Transformers.
Yeah, but I...
Nah. Here's my defense, my one and only time I will ever publicly defend Michael Bay.
Chill out.
He knows how to blow stuff up. Therefore,
yes, he does.
That's it, though. I mean, that's believe me, that's very.
I don't even really agree with that. I find. What is the last good Michael Bay film? Not counting The Island, which I haven't seen.
No, that was actually his last film.
But I mean, what was the last good? What was the last movie he did that you're like, whoa, what a great film? Pearl Harbor. Thank you.
Yeah, sir. Right there.
So I just
Bad Boys too. No.
Here's the thing about Transformers is, I just don't care. You know, I mean, I know. I mean, look, I'll go see it because I'm a Gen Xer and whatever.
Yeah, me too.
I don't care, and I mean, okay, I watched the cartoon because I was young and I was, you know, and I'm not saying I'm ashamed of it or that I was wrong to do it, but I watched it because when you're a kid, you just kind of watch whatever they tell you to watch. You watch whatever's marketed to you.
That was right up there with the Thundercats.
Exactly. Back, yes. But my thing about the movies is, this is what no one points out. The Transformers are really fascinating as toys in real life because it's like a boombox that turns into like a guy or like a robot that turns into a truck. It's really cool because like you can hold it in your hand and it's a semi-truck and then you twist it and turn it and it becomes a robot. No one bothered to point out, like, why is that impressive when it's a CGI film? It somehow fails to capture the same sense of magic.
It's a cool cartoon. Cooper, my son, has got 2 Star Wars Transformers. And he absolutely just loves, and he loves the cartoon. But I'm with you on the movie, though, man.
I'm going to see if I can get in without paying.
Yeah. We'll take care of you.
All right. The old TV series I'd like to see made into a movie most would probably be the Robotech saga.
Robotech.
That was awesome with the jet planes that would turn to the robots fighting the giant aliens.
We're such losers. Hey, look, you can hear Sarah's brain turning off as we have. Are you into, well, final note, sir, and then we have to go. Are you into Star Blazers?
That was with the giant ship that kind of looked like a submarine.
Space cruiser Yamato.
Star Blazers at all.
Yeah, that's...
We're off to outer space. We're leaving. The Star Force only has 200 days left to defeat the Gamelons. You don't remember that?
Not at all.
Now you're dead.
That's crazy. That's awesome.
Right. Hey, thank you, Benjamin.
Scarlett Johansson.
It's fun geeking out with you.
All right, thank you. Gotta go.
Scarlett Johansson's next film is called The Prestige. With Hugh Jackman and Christian Bale, directed by Christopher Nolan. It looks fantastic.
Here's the thing. I know this sounds really sleazy. But here's the thing about Scarlett Johansson is, I know she can act. She can really act. She's talented. Unlike, I would say, Jennifer Love Hewitt, who can't really act. What?
I mentioned her.
That's what I'm saying. She just needs to, just stand nude somewhere for like an hour on a slowly rotating pedestal. So we can all watch.
Just to get it over with?
Get it out of our system, so and then I can focus. No, because here's the thing, and I know it's my failing as a man. I know it's my failing that I watch Match Point, which you and I would agree is a brilliant film.
Outstanding.
Fantastic film. But the whole movie, I'm just so distracted by her breasts that I feel like I am not able to give her acting the respect it deserves. I know that sounds cheesy, but it's true. I just wish, just get it out of the way.
Have you seen Ghost World?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
See, that movie for me really showed me. Granted, it was one of her first films, and I didn't really know her.
Yeah, but man, it's like the same thing. Thora Birch in that movie. Every time the camera would show Thora Birch from the waist up, I would just be like, I know. Come on, focus on the film. Focus.
Because you know she exposed herself in American Beauty.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
So you've already kind of got that.
Yeah. And there's this horrible movie called The Hole that I own with Thora Birch.
Yeah, I got that movie too, baby.
And it has Keira Knightley.
Does yours have a big black plumber in it?
No, it's ridiculous. When my sister worked for the Seattle Weekly, they sent it. It was one of those straight-to-video movies, and it has Keira Knightley and Thora Birch in it. And it's these high school kids that...
That's based on a children's book.
Is it,
I think.
No, you're thinking Holes.
Oh, okay. I've never seen it, but not.
No, this one is, everyone, like, their whole school is going on some kind of vacation, but they want to stay in town and party.
Uh-huh.
So there's, like, this old abandoned thing in the ground, and they go to the woods, and they get trapped down there. There's lots of sex scenes and boobs.
Sweet. Yeah. I'm all over that. Yeah, Thora Birch.
And she's naughty in it, too. She
Thora Birch?
Multicolored hair, and she chain smokes.
Oh, that's
I just
so
can't
sweet.
Get over Thora Birch because she was Harrison Ford's daughter in the Patriot Games. And
oh, that's right.
Clear Present Danger. So when I saw her in American Beauty, I'm like, oh, that's
man.
Wrong. Yeah,
look. Boy, she's just beautiful. Thora Birch is just so gorgeous. I don't even.
Really?
Yeah. I don't even remember. Here's how gorgeous she was to me in Ghost World. That I don't even remember. I mean, I remember, but I didn't even really notice Scarlett Johansson much in that film.
Really?
I mean, obviously, she's a great actress, but I'm saying physically, I didn't really even pay attention to Scarlett Johansson too much. I was too busy just ogling Thora Birch like a nitwit. Right. Paul, Northeast, what's up, brother?
Yeah, hi, Rick.
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, there I am. I'm sorry. I was doing something else. Hey, I got a story about you about the movie Career Opportunities.
Jennifer Connelly riding
Rob
a horse.
Lowe?
It's that guy who played Brad/Brent in Pulp Fiction. What's his name? Look at the big brain on Brad. It's
that guy. He also played The Doors. Frank Whaley.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Anyway, Rick.
I would touch you if you were covered with spiders.
Yeah. Anyway, what's going on? Well, several years ago, my sons and I were visiting family in Goldendale. Can you imagine what an awful place that is?
Yeah.
I got a ticket there.
So we had nothing to do. I says, well, let's just go to the movie store and then see if we can find something that's worth the rent. So I happened to see a copy of Career Opportunities. I showed it to them. And I said, you know, they were 16 and 18 at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, perfect.
Hello.
But what is it? They said, oh, Dad, this looks like some stupid trick. Like, we're not sure if we're going to like this.
Oh.
You know, so we put it on, and we, you know, because they were just, they showed some mild interest. And then the hobby horse scene came on.
Yeah.
And, Dad, this is the greatest movie ever.
Seriously. I don't know how what it's like to be a teenager now because they got the porn. But, you know, I try to be smart. I try to sound like I know stuff and like I'm an educated, intelligent guy. But you know what? At the end of it all, at the bottom of the page, we're all just idiot, drooling, one-celled men.
Well, you want to know what happened? Well, after they saw that movie, they went and bought it themselves. And then they went and got Labyrinth and the Rocketeer.
Yeah, Labyrinth. Of course, she's like 10 in Labyrinth, though.
Yeah,
so.
But, you know, it was starting to show then.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
I remember the theater display for Career Opportunities. It was you know, the big cardboard place?
Oh, yeah.
It was mechanical with her riding the hobby
horse.
Oh,
you're kidding me.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
God.
It's like,
you know what's creepy is when you go back and there's a hot girl and then you watch her career in reverse. Like, there's a hot girl.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you see her as a little girl in a previous film and you're like, oh, because...
It's freaky.
Yeah, but Jennifer Connelly, I first knew her in Career Opportunities. And then later you see Labyrinth or whatever. And she's, again, she's all flat and you're just like... You know, or at least very underage, and you're watching, going, "Oh no, wrong!" That's why I can never find Drew Barrymore hot ever. I
really?
Can never find Drew Barrymore hot because to me, she's what's her name, Charlie McGee from Firestarter, always,
or even,
and from E.T. and Gertie from E.T.
Gertie from E.T.
I can Drew, but you know what it is? Drew Barrymore and I. She doesn't know this, but Drew Barrymore and I have a relationship, not unlike Sarah and I's relationship. I feel a warm brother sister affection with Drew Barrymore. You know. Cute girl. Can never be attracted to her because I knew her when she was like 5. You know, I can't find her hot. It just makes me, I'm incapable of doing it.
She's probably the exception to that rule for me.
She's the hot sister to you?
She's the hot sister.
She's the hot stepsister and mom and dad are out of town?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right. She's the hot cousin, Sarah.
I'm just distracted.
With nothing to do on the farm.
Are you reading the chick tracts?
I was just reading the descriptions of them.
Oh, they're genius. Does it let you read the full ones online, or does he? Does
oh
he
yeah,
trying...
there's the whole ones. Like, one's called Hard Times.
I can see many hours this weekend going away.
I know. No, they're fantastic.
Beaten and alone, a child dies, but Jesus cares.
Yes.
Oh.
Chick.com, by the way, /catalog/tracklist. No, there was one about Dungeons and Dragons that's legendary, by the way, and I believe the Dungeons and Dragon ones ends with them literally conjuring the devil. I think it actually appears like the devil appearing on their dining room table. We should break here. We'll come back. We got Chris, who has a Scott Daly Kill Bill question. So there you go.
Excellent. I'm ready.
Now, let's hope you don't muff this one like you did last week with that. It's not a remake business.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
All right. Oh, I wanted to point it out.
I'm glad you're here for these things for me. That's, you know,
it's
refreshing.
It's what I do. All right. Here's David Allen Coe. Be back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show right here on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.
You got run over by a damned old train, and I'll hang around as long as you will.
Oh, how I wish that were true.
God, hours of entertainment.
I'm telling you right now, we ought to create our own to market the show, like a Rick Tract or something. All right. 503-733. That's another thing I mentioned that we'll never do. It's 503-733-2970. Ideas come off us like so many pencil shavings. You know, so email it's rick@rickemerson.com. We'll be back with Scott Daly in a moment to talk about the science of sleep. Ladies and gentlemen, the real reason you're here, your own personal jack chick. Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Breaking news, a total curfew has been declared in Baghdad. The government has declared an immediate curfew in the capital to run until Sunday morning. Do not leave your homes there. Don't wave. Don't poke your heads out the window.
Freedom is on the march. Stay inside.
There's been no comment from Laura or Barney yet.
Did they say why, or is it just...
No,
just
it's the same old thing, you know. It's
today we're experiencing...
Democracy is on the march.
An 80% chance of...
your head off.
An 80% chance of generalized death if you leave your home. Good times. Did you read... Do we have that story about the Baghdad police station?
I don't. Not on me, no.
It's... I'll find it. I'll find it here. It was going to be a Democracy on the March, which we're not going to get to, but it really is genius. All right, I'll find it here while you're reading something else. It was in the Post this morning.
Naked men are giving lap dances to the ladies.
Hello.
Where?
The Palomino Club in North Las Vegas.
Well, I'm sorry.
Tim, how you tease.
This is in North Las Vegas. It's the only place in the area that allows both alcohol and fully nude dancers.
Now, see, but we're going to flash forward 8 or 9 panels, and the devil will be appearing with a pitchfork to poke at you while your grandmother's in an upper bed. If only she'd listened.
Oh, how I
Palomino special
money.
License guarantees them a monopoly in this area until the year 2019, but it's located in an unpleasant area behind Industrial Avenue behind the Strip.
All right. Let's see.
Horny bachelorettes will definitely go off the Strip.
It's totally true.
You betcha they will.
Okay. why don't you read one more while I'm trying to find this
all right.
this story.
Let's see. Can we go back to the sound bites?
Indeed we can.
Let's do that then.
All right.
85-year-old Betty Bessie told police she discovered a man with a knife in her bedroom. She said he demanded cash, but told him she didn't have any, and then he threatened to kill her. She took matters into her own hands.
He said, "Want me to kill you?" And he came towards me with a knife. And he insisted, "Want me to kill you? Give me your money." I said, "I told you I don't have any money. I'm on Social Security."
Oh, that's so great. Now, what did she do?
And he left.
Really?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Excellent. All right. I don't have the story. I can't find the story. It was here earlier this morning. I wonder if the White House has had it removed. It was a great story about how we've created some Baghdad police department, but it contained...
Was it in today's batch?
It was. It was, today's Democracy on the March, actually. If you can, track it down really quickly. It had a great phrase that I want to use. Real quickly, we should get a couple of these here. Chris. Chris, you're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, I had a question for Scott Daly.
And here he is.
Hello, Chris.
Uh-huh. Excellent. I was wondering when Tarantino's coming out with, like, a collector's edition Kill Bill that'll have both Volume 1 and a 2.
I thought that was already out where you could get...
You know what kills me is there are 2 Tarantino films on DVD that are not in my library because I'm waiting for the exact same thing.
For you to merge them?
Yeah. They've been talking about doing it for a few years now. There's even speculation they're holding off because there's going to be a third kind of an anime version of, I believe, Ichiren's story.
Cool.
Not quite sure what's going on because I know Tarantino's working hard right now with Rodriguez on Grindhouse, as well as his World War II film Inglourious Basterds, which has kind of been in production hell for like 3 years now.
So the answer is no one knows.
The answer is there's no known thing about it right now.
Well, I won't even buy Pulp Fiction or Reservoir Dogs yet because they won't put a goddamn commentary on them, and I'm not going to buckle or bend. I will not buy them until it's there.
Yeah, but there are some fantastic features on both those discs. Even the Jackie Brown's got it's a great.
I
set.
Suppose, but without a commentary, set. It's useless to me.
Yeah,
I'm a stickler for it. Yeah. There you go, Chris. Sorry to be a buzzkill.
Hey.
All right, there you go. Let's go back to Tim Riley here for a moment, ladies and gentlemen.
So here's what we have here. A $75 million project to build the largest police academy in Iraq has been so grossly mismanaged that the campus now poses health hazards to recruits.
Okay, see if you can spot the phrase, by the way, that necessitated this story's inclusion in today's program.
And might need to be partially demolished, U.S. investigators have found. The Baghdad Police College, hailed as critical to U.S. efforts to prepare Iraqis to take control of the country's security, was so poorly constructed that feces and urine rained from the ceilings into the student barracks. Floors heaved inches off the ground and cracked apart. Water dripping so profusely in one room that it was dubbed the rainforest. This is the most essential civil security project in the country, and it's a failure, said Stuart W. Bosen Jr., the Special Inspector Jr. for the Iraq Reconstruction. This is an independent office created by Congress. The Baghdad Police Academy is a disaster. Bowen's office plans to release a 21-page report detailing the most alarming products with the facility.
But really, why do you need a 21-page report once we've already had the phrase, urine and feces rain from the ceiling?
I'm so glad we're making a difference there.
I mean, seriously. And by the way, am I the only one? Wait a minute. Attention, Paul Mazursky. Baghdad Police Academy. There you go. There's your new sequel. It's genius. I don't know why it hasn't been already made. It should be in production now.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, the world's greatest newsman. Yeah. Fantastic.
I can see an Iraqi Michael Winslow.
Seriously. That's genius. Scotty's calling it a golden rainforest. Ryan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show with Scott Daly.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
So you were talking about, you know, actresses that you think are really hot now, but then you look at them and they're reverse, you know.
You watch their career backward, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My biggest example of this would be Natalie Portman.
No,
I always thought she was great. And then you think about
the professional
when she's like 11 years old and it's just all sick and wrong after
that. Well, the thing about The Professional
I hate to say this, but it's such an erotically charged movie anyway.
It puts off, their relationship puts off such a weird vibe.
Well, because
it's
French.
Fascinating, but it's like, no, I don't know, this is weird.
It's because they're French, and they're not like us. And that's
Close.
I remember watching The Professional, I think I saw it in the theater, actually, and it was, what's his name, Jean LeBlanc?
Jean-Luc.
And then Luc Besson made it, but the kid, Jean Reno, and Natalie Portman, you're right, she's like 10. But they're, it's one of those things that you had to wait a while to ask other people about in the indirect fashion, because you wondered if it was just you. Or I'm going like, am I the only one, or is there like a creepy sex vibe between the two of them? Everybody's like, no, dude, it's totally there. It is a creepy movie. And yeah, especially you watch it now, and you know, another movie that's like that with Natalie Portman is Beautiful Girls.
Yeah.
Beautiful Girls, where she plays like a 13-year-old.
The neighbor?
Yeah.
And Timothy Hutton.
And they do this really insidious thing. I think she's meant to be 13 or 14.
Yeah, she is.
I think it's 13, actually. And they do this insidious thing. And I don't know how old she was when they filmed that. And I, to tell you the truth, I don't want to know. But they, of this thing of deliberately writing her to be this, like, dream girl.
This Lolita next door. But
well,
not quite Lolita to that extent. But
they do this horrible, awkward thing. I mean, it's a great movie. It really is. But they do this thing in Beautiful Girls of taking Natalie Portman, whose character is 13, and literally writing her as someone that you would date in a heartbeat. I mean, you would absolutely date in a second if only she wasn't 13.
That's the movie I fell in love with her.
Yeah, because
you know,
she's all
like,
wise beyond
man.
Her ears and smart and funny and savvy and, you know, and yet that, 13.
Yeah.
And it's just, you just feel so weird watching that movie as a guy. I don't think women ever have. Women don't ever watch Home Alone and be like, oh, if only he was legal.
Oh,
I mean, women
or
don't.
Or Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
Oh, screech.
Well. I mean, now, can I just tell you this?
That's the creepiest thing you've said all week, by the way.
I was.
Whole story all week.
I was what?
The whole screech thing.
Oh, no. I was on a message board this morning.
Scrub my brain.
I was reading a message board this morning with a screech thing. And there was a girl who posted there, and she did not sound like she was kidding. It didn't seem like an ironic post, and it was a post to the effect of, you know, like, I had a huge crush on him, and I already watched those Saved by the Bell reruns and have fond, you know, like, erotic memories of thinking of Screech. This will only add to that. You know, and like, who...
That has to be a joke.
I hope so.
It's hard to tell on those message boards.
And on the internet,
man,
anything is possible, man.
Yeah.
I've seen things on the internet that would just, it would get, as Ernie Hudson say, it would turn you white. So, all right, thank you, Ryan.
Thanks,
there you go. That's a Ryan. All right. Science of Sleep. I don't know what the hell that is.
No, Science of Sleep is the latest film by Michel Gondry, who most recently brought us Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind and Human Nature, both written by Charlie Kaufman, who is a genius, probably the best writer in Hollywood today, actually.
He wrote my favorite screenplay of the last 10 years, which is Adaptation.
Yes. Brilliant. Brilliant, brilliant work. The Science of Sleep is a new film by Michel Gondry. Michel Gondry also recently did Dave Chappelle's Walk Party, which I really want to see.
Now,
it looks great. I love Dave Chappelle.
I resisted that, but then somebody explained that it's not like a comedy thing.
No,
it really is like a documentary of him throwing a party.
Throwing a party
That's
in New York.
Cool.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Science of Sleep is a French film, though, because Michel Gondry obviously is French. And so it takes place in Paris, surrounds a bunch of French characters, but the lead character's name is Stéphane. And Stéphane lives in a dream world. Everything in his sleep and his dreams is animated. He dreams that he hosts his own TV show, but the everything's made from cardboard boxes.
Is this like an Amelie kind of a thing?
Kinda, but a little more out there than Amelie was. So, and so he's kind of stuck in this creative world. He's got a kind of a mundane job that has potential for creativity, but he just can't get past that. And his next door neighbor, Stephanie, moves in, and she's a little more grounded with her artistic side. And he's oddly attracted to her. She's not the most attractive looking person in the film, and that, I'm saying that because that's a plot point of the film. And so the film kind of goes along with his relocation to Paris, his dealing with this job that he can't quite get his hands around, and his odd attraction to this new neighbor. All the while mixed in with these little weird animated bits that are going on in his head or in his fantasy world. Not the strongest written film out there, and Michel Gondry wrote the film, and so, you know, I can't really compare it to his other films because Charlie Kaufman wrote those films.
Right, right.
It's something to compare it to. It's an enjoyable film. It's playing at Cinema 21 starting today through next week. It's fun to watch.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how arty is this film?
Arty, I'd give it an 8.
All right.
It's fun to watch. Sorry, those of you folks who don't like to read. It is subtitled.
You're dripping contempt.
Let me tell you, video storage. Yeah, don't get me started on subtitled films. But, it is subtitled. It is French. But it's a fun film. It's fun just to go and just sit down and enjoy yourself for an hour and a half, get caught up in this dream world. Again, not very memorable. You walk away. Yeah, that was fun.
An enjoyable film, though.
Yeah, exactly.
A cute little film.
All we reviewed it last week on Film Fever Radio. Aaron reviewed it last week on FilmFeverRadio.com. But, it opens today at Cinema 21. So, you know, go check it out. If you like, especially if you like Michel Gondry, if you like his old videos, the stuff he did with White Stripes or Chemical Brothers, you know, years back, you're going to enjoy this film because it kind of has that old, feature-length video feel to it.
We're going to do this with break. We'll come back. We got Chris. By the way, Scotty J. I forgot to do this. We got to get a better handle on this come Monday. We got a pair of tickets, actually. Pair of winning before you can buy them tickets to Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. See, look at that.
Outstanding.
November 17th at the Schnitzer. We're giving them away before you can buy them. They go on sale tomorrow. Ticketmaster outlets or HOB.com. And we'll be introducing that show as well. They're going to be on the show. We'll be doing an interview with them. We'll take caller 5 here for a pair of tickets to see Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, their farewell tour, November 17th at a Schnitzer, 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. A pair of those right now. Happy 55th birthday to Meatloaf this week. We're back after this. Don't go anywhere. All right, we now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Like us next, Don and Mike at 7. Don't forget the Timnasium with Tim Savage tomorrow, 4 to 6, Timnasium. This just in from Tim Riley. This is so great. Here's an important press release. Airlines share coffee grounds and lunchroom scraps.
Oh.
Horizon Air staff at Portland International Airport will display how they're helping to convert used coffee grounds into compost. Come see this tomorrow. There's free coffee.
They always have free coffee.
Oh, I'm sure. It's Monday at 10 a.m. Yeah, get right out there.
You know the best thing about Horizon Air? I fly them occasionally for work.
Uh-huh.
Free beer.
Really?
Yeah, oh, it's great.
Listen to this.
Yeah.
This press release contains the phrase, plate scrapings, food soiled napkins and towels, and other compostable paper fibers. So there you go. And just in case you weren't clear, across the top somebody's written FUN with an exclamation mark.
There you go. My employer has a big call center out in Beaverton, and there's a huge worm compost pile where they just dump. There's a big vat of worms. They pour all the food in there.
A big vat of worms.
Seriously, and they pour the food in there. The worms break it down, and it's
the worms
compost.
Break it down. Do they wear gold chains while they do that?
No, but they're waiting for the worms.
Okay. Thank you, sir. There you go.
Come on.
I don't have the... Chris, what's up, brother?
Hey, what's up, Rick?
How can I help
you? On the whole Natalie Portman.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, I had a... one of my coworkers, who no longer works with us anymore, he had a crush on Natalie Portman from The Professional.
Uh-huh.
He actually somehow managed to find eBay, I don't know whatnot, her yearbook. Not hers, but someone who went to school.
Oh, God. He found...
Did he track it down?
He tracked down Natalie Portman's yearbook from when she was like 10?
From junior high.
Oh, that's just creepy. And you said he no longer works with you?
Yeah, he no longer works
with me. Well, did they find something? Is that some sort of a inappropriate screensaver on his computer or something?
I have no idea, but I know he's no longer there.
So. We need to talk to you about your internet surfing activity.
Yeah, seriously. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, real quickly. Hey, Ginger.
Yes.
Hey, Ginger.
Uh-huh.
You're going to see Tim Conway and Harvey Korman November 17th at the Schnitzer.
Cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And we're going to be talking about this a lot more as time goes on because we're the presenting station for this, which is very cool. Tim Riley and I are going to be, blessed with the opportunity to introduce the guys.
Great.
Very cool. So if you grew up with Carol Burnett or if you watched Blazing Saddles, you grew up with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman, it is their farewell tour. Yeah. November 17th, tickets go on sale tomorrow. And we're going to be doing what they call a 5-4-3-2-1, which is fifth row, fourth row, third row, all the way to front row, which also is going to get you backstage if you win those. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Winning those before you could buy them. So Ginger, thank you. We'll see you there.
Okay, sounds good.
There you go. Mm-hmm. And next week, Scotty has promised that he's going to come in and tase me with something to make sure that I give those away in a more regular schedule next week so it's not all crammed into the end of the program.
My best Tim Conway memories. Three words. Apple Dumpling Gang.
Oh, no, it's... I remember watching that. Yeah. Yeah. Let's welcome...
The postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Hey, Sarah, would you just like to know this phrase that arrived in my inbox?
Okay.
Warm, creamy milk.
Yeah.
Chris, how you doing?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Yeah, that was... I didn't need that.
It's what I do, brother.
Yeah. The Bushwatch, I'm going to give you the democracy on the march, even though you didn't play the intro. That was your democracy.
That was the feces raining from the ceiling story.
Yeah, you just didn't play your intro.
No.
Scott Daly's there.
Hi.
Hi.
And you got the worst obituary ever.
Yeah.
So you got the four things. Too bad you. He's 10.
Oh! Really?
You didn't get the corpse watch.
Oh.
Geek watch.
Oh.
You didn't get the killer bees will kill us all. The metal post will kill us all. The severed heads will kill us all, or the guys throwing baseballs will kill us all.
Well, what can he say? Damn.
I can say that you're now comfortably at 68 push-ups.
We're getting to a place where I can't even comprehend.
Well, then maybe you should just do like 10 right now.
I don't have time.
All right, fine. Just drop gives 5 right
no,
now.
No, you do. It's okay. Just do them now.
How many?
Hey, you know what? When I was in Navy boot camp, we recruits... The recruits are called Ricks. So drop and give me 10, Rick.
Shut up. All right, go ahead and plug your crap while I'm putting it up.
All right, filmfeverradio.com. We got like 1. I got to do this instead. 2. 3. Come on, 4. Yeah, 5. 6. 7. Come on, 8. 9. And all the way down, 10. There
we
go.
I know it's
really
not fun
Fantastic.
For you guys, but he is so flustered. Oh, my God. Could your face be redder?
Shut your mouth.
Good Lord. Look at him.
That's pretty red, man.
I'm out of shape.
Your head is, like, glowing.
Your head's like a giant strawberry.
Okay, so I guess you're at 58.
There you go. Just drop 10 right there.
Thank you,
Chris. I feel for you.
All right. Chris, are you here next week?
I am here on Monday only.
All right. Well, we'll have to find a replacement.
If you don't have a replacement, I have a hotel with Wi-Fi. I'm going to download the
your poor wife.
There you go.
Think for me. We'll be
That's
down
dedication,
the man.
That's what keeps a marriage spicy.
That's dedication.
All right. We'll figure it out on Monday.
Okay.
Have a good weekend, sir.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, mailman Chris. I feel like my heart's going to explode.
Wow.
Yeah, you went all the way down, too. I was impressed.
Son of a bitch, of course I did them all the way. What am I going to do, girl push-ups?
You've done girl push-ups before.
I have not.
Now you're coughing.
My arms hurt. What's a stroke?
But you knocked out 10.
A baby.
I've got this tingle in my left arm, too. All right. Filmfeverradio.com.
That's right. We got a new episode up this week. This week we take a look at the 5 fall films we're looking forward to. Plus, Aaron has an exclusive interview with the head of the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival.
Oh, Aaron got into the
Aaron
film.
Aaron has a short film, Cthulhu Pet short film, that's going to be in the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival at the Hollywood Theater in a week or two. And we've got an exclusive interview with the head of the film festival on this week's episode of Film Fever Radio. You can find that at filmfeverradio.com. Com.
Fantastic. All right, we want to thank Scott Dowd at FilmFeverRadio.com. We want to thank Gary Baumgarten, also Lisa Goddard today. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah Exilin for I'm just all like ooh, seeing bright spots.
Lovely. Are you okay?
8970.
This is the twist. He's gonna die, guys.
Save radio. Scotty J is more than an intern. Tim Riley does some news things, I guess, and stuff. Man, the thing. Tim Riley is your news director, is what he is, and the manager of the Rick Emerson Office East is Dave Zinn. Tim Nasium tomorrow, 4 to 6. Like us next, Donna Mike at 7. As always, thank you for listening. Don't let the bastards run you down. Thank you all for being there. We'll see you on Monday. Bye. New direction.